let's be real. Number two wouldn't be that bad, right?
Yeah, sure.
Well, how do I get to number two? Just try as close as humanly possible to be like number one, and you'll be at number two.
Right, you know? Right.
You have the blueprint laid out. Almost always, there are long tail keywords that don't have a lot of competition, that have people searching for them, that you could pretty quickly go after.
Heard of that.
Look, we'll give you like, you'll type in a keyword and it'll give you like thousands of all of the other terms that people are searching with that term.
That is sick. That's a sick resource. Okay. That's a good
resource. It is. It's a great one.
If you can just answer these questions as if your best friend, your loved one, someone that you know personally is asking you and you want to give honest answers about SEO. There's not a lot of good, solid, honest advice out there for the everyday local business owner. So that's why I'm having you on here, because I think you'll give us the best honest advice. I really appreciate that. I've known Nick for, I think, about 10 years now, Nick. I think it's been about 10 years. And we're at opposite ends of the marketing space. He's the digital, super digital. And I'm like, I don't do anything digital. But Nick has an SEO agency in Hawaii. Was it Maui?
Yeah, Maui.
Did I get it right? Mm-hmm. In Hawaii. You can go on his website, nickpani.com, I think it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You actually named it nickpani.com, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, no, it was I didn't think too much about it. Yeah.
And go on his website. He has been doing SEO for a long, about seven, 10 years, something like that, Nick?
I think so. Actually, right? you know what's funny is today, this is crazy. November 29th, 2014, I got fired from my last job.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. So not even 10 years ago, but today, ironically enough.
Was that when you were a mechanic? You used to be a mechanic? Car mechanic?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I was working on cars and I didn't actually really get an SEO till a couple years later. But
so you can go on his site, nickpani.com, and I want to say you rank number one for Maui, for Hawaii SEO or Maui SEO, right? You're like the number one or two guy that pops up when you search for SEO in the whole state.
Yeah. Right? No, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. So Google has a lot of different changes to their algorithm, ranking factors for business owners. And I think we're going to talk more about that, but you might experience being number one at something in Google and then a week later you're not. And that's usually Google making a big change to their algorithm. And so right now Google is making a big change to their algorithm to input AI into their algorithm. So right now when you do a search, they're kind of all over the place. Generally, yeah, we're, you know, number one or number two for Hawaii SEO or Maui SEO. Yeah.
And you've got a lot of clients. You can go on your site, you see portfolios, you got your website's beautiful, but I see your clients' websites. They look incredible. Like you got a solid portfolio, local businesses, actual brick and mortar stuff. Like most of the people watching on here is
we got probably 50 clients right now, like 50 ongoing clients.
Yeah. You've obviously got to be getting them results, right? Because they're not hanging on to paying money to you or whatever you charge every month to do SEO if they're not getting results, right? I'm assuming.
That's yeah. I mean, everybody operates different, right? All the agencies are different, or there are a lot of freelancers out there, which is what I kind of started as, right? I was just an independent person trying to help people get higher visibility in Google. And lots of people operate in different ways. I think if you're looking to get some SEO done, to try to look for people that are authentic in that way, an indicator of that, like for me, especially early on, was like, I didn't have a contract for anybody to sign. I wasn't like, you know, pay me $1,000 for 12 months and we'll make it happen. You have to sign this contract. I would tell them like, I want to earn your business. You know, my goal is to have a long-term relationship with you. If you're not getting results, exactly like you said, Jake, you're not going to pay me. So it's important to set the expectation correctly and let them know that SEO does take time to implement. So in month two or three, they're not, you know, like, hey, you said I was going to be at the top of Google this week, which I would steer clear of anybody saying that as well. Over time, you know, they should see some sort of results if they actually are effective.
In my opinion, there's not a lot of good, solid, honest advice out there for the everyday local business owner. So that's why I'm having you on here, because I think you'll give us the best honest advice. I really appreciate that.
And I appreciate you saying that, because I know that is 100% the truth. You know, I know that you crush it with everything that you do with, you know, direct response and print marketing and all that. And I know that, this is an important topic for you to you know, give real truth. You know,
and I'm not selling SEO, so I'm just trying to give them good. I'm just trying to give them good advice.
You're just trying to spread the good word, and I really appreciate that, and I take that really seriously too. So I will definitely do my best to give everybody all the best information I have and as much value as humanly possible, and going out there to get some better ranking for their business.
Sweet. I'm gonna give you a bunch of questions, and I'm gonna there's some that other business owners have asked me to ask you, and I just like to summarize what I'm hoping to get out of this is. I want to give everyday local business owners, brick and mortar, real estate, you know, boots on the ground type of people. I want them to know how much it's probably going to cost to get good SEO, how long it's going to take, what they can expect, what to watch out for. I'm going to ask you questions about that. And maybe some tips on what they can do themselves. Like if they can't afford, not everyone can afford an SEO agency. So some tips starting out, and you've got 50 something reviews on Google too, spanning the last, you know, year. So I think that says a lot too. I didn't see any negative ones. So
I don't know. Somehow we've managed to make that happen.
All right. First question I'm going to ask you, Nick, is what can or should a business do themselves? Is there things that like a local business should be doing themselves? Like if they're not doing anything for SEO right now, what should they be doing? What could they do themselves?
It depends on how big the business is. You know, if it's somebody that has a brand new business, there's not a whole lot you can do to invest in your business, right? A lot of what you're going to be doing to grow your business is kind of the grassroots stage. And so usually when we talk to business owners that are interested in SEO, we like to try to find out where their business is at in the sense of like, and I use this analogy of SEO is a long-term marketing strategy. And so I ask them, I'm like, you know, are you looking to get customers right now? And if the answer is yes, then I probably wouldn't prescribe SEO. Mm. But if you're looking to build an asset, build your organic traffic to your website over time, then SEO is a great strategy to do that, because over time after doing it, you will get people coming to you basically for free from a little bit of work up front. You will have people coming to you for a length of time. And so if people are looking for customers right away, I would recommend running ads or doing some sort of-
I was just going to ask you, is that what someone tells you, I'm looking for customers now, I got money to spend. What the solution is paid ads, right?
For me, my wheelhouse is usually running Google ads. There are plenty of other things out there. I mean, one of the best methods that we have used in the past is obviously using some direct mail too.
Yeah.
My wheelhouse is probably more specific with running Google ads, because we can set an ad up, you know, this week and have traffic going to the site right away that are relevant terms for, I mean, if you're a roofer, we can put an ad up tomorrow and have people that are searching for roofing in Miami to your website. So it's much quicker. What can a business owner do for themselves? You know, if you have some money, some capital that you are able to invest into your business, you're not necessarily needing customers right away, and you want to reinvest some of that money in your business, SEO is a great way to, you know, get the write-off. You can reinvest. You can have somebody help you with SEO.
That's true.
And you can write that off, of course, instead of paying taxes on it. That's a great marketing strategy.
That's a good point.
And if you don't have an extra, you know, pile of cash laying around to reinvest in your business, like what can you do yourself? A basic form of search engine optimization is really like you got to get into the mindset. So if you're a roofing company, we'll use that as an example. You're a roofing company and you're looking to get more people that are looking to get their roof fixed or a new roof on their house, then your website essentially has to be about roofing. There has to be pictures that are labeled roofing. There has to be content on it about roofing. The about page is going to talk about a roofing business that's been around for 35 years. And Google knows all this because they send these little crawlers out, little robots out to your site that look at your site and scrape it and see what it's about. So, you know, if you just have a blank page, Google does not know what to rank you for. Mm. They're not going to, if somebody's looking for a roofer in Miami, you're just a blank page. There's nothing that they can hook onto to make you look relevant for that. Yeah. And so what you have to do is add relevance to your site. And we do
that.
Does that mean,
I know in the days past, you know, you'd stuff it with just a ton of keywords and pages. Like, does that mean you have to bloat this site with a ton of information? Is that part of it? No.
That, I mean, back in the day. So over time, SEO has changed quite a bit. And we're actually at a period right now where it's probably going to change quite a bit. I've mentioned earlier about the influence of AI. And this, for anybody that isn't doing SEO, I look at it as a big opportunity, because imagine if you were the first person who started implementing SEO back in the day. Your business took off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to be the first person or the first business owner to implement the benefits of however AI is going to be integrated with Google, you are now going to have even more of a competitive edge against all the other roofing businesses that are not even doing SEO to begin with.
Are you prepared for that, Nick? Is your agency like planning for that? Like, is that?
Yeah, you know, this, definitely.
This big change of AI. Do you think if someone was interested in getting in this head, like you just mentioned, getting being the, one of these first companies to really in the area to really start thinking about the new, the near future of AI with SEO, could they contact you? Could they, you know, or could you guys help them get a leg up on that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're, you know, my agency, like, it really is a team of rock stars. You know, I'm not the only one there.
Yeah.
Everybody in that company is hopefully much smarter than I am. I feel like they are.
You can't do it. You can't do SEO yourself. Right? In a sense, you really, one person can only do so much for SEO. Yeah. It's an involved process. There's so many moving parts in it, right?
Yes. There are a lot of moving parts. And I say that, you know, my team is incredibly awesome, because they're the ones that are producing some incredible results for all of our clients. And I bring that up because we are constantly submersed in search engine optimization and marketing and digital marketing in general, so much so that we're really trying to stay ahead of any trends. You know, we're on the front line of information, and we get that information, we come back to our clients and we're like, hey, we have this competitive edge that we are now going to be able to implement for you and take advantage of it. And
that's how I feel. That's how I feel about it. It's like, that's how I like direct mail. It doesn't change as fast. The SEO changes so fast, unless you're working with someone who knows, is staying on top of it and is immersed in it. Like, you just get, you can't keep up. So I feel like you have to, in my gut, I feel like if you're going to do SEO, you really have to hire someone who knows what they're doing. There's only so much you can do yourself, in my opinion, right? Fill out your Google business profile, like that's probably, and get reviews. That's my answer when people ask me digital marketing.
Well, that's a great place to start, you know, and you can also, like I said, we're talking about adding relevance for whatever it is that you want to rank for. And back in the day, there were people just putting the same word over and over. You could, you know, scroll down a website and you would say Roofer Miami. I keep using Roofer as an example.
But I used to put the HTML to make all the letters and keywords the same color as the background, so you'd have a million of
the hide them in there. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I like seeing the websites that still have those on there. You're like scrolling on it, and there's like it's
Roofer all in this Illinois, Roofer in that Illinois, Roofer in this Illinois. Like that stuff doesn't do anything anymore, right? Is that pretty like a million keywords and every location possible. It's stupid now, right?
Yeah. So Google has made updates and changes to their algorithm. The thing is they don't really like search engine optimization at Google necessarily. There's no like tutorial that they really put out there that tells you absolutes in how to rank a website. It's very vague. There is information about ranking and what it should be about and having relevance and all that, but they're not like, do these 10 things. And this is how you're going to be ranking better. They don't necessarily want you to do that, because they don't want people gaming the system.
Gaming the system, right. Yeah. Right. And Google's really smart now. It wants to return the best, honest result, right?
And when they find people gaming the system, that's when they make a change to their algorithm. So what they're really giving a high priority to now and rewarding now is really just having good. And one of the latest changes that they've made is having good content on your site. Having good content, and they can tell what good content is by how long somebody stays on the website. So if you can imagine, if somebody looks for Roofer Miami and they click on a website and they get there and they're like, this is about swimming pools. They're going to hit the back button. So that's,
I didn't even think of that. Right. They know how long you're on a site, where you're that navigation, right? That's the thing, how easy it is to navigate. And are they going through multiple pages? Yeah. The behavior of actual people on the site. I didn't even think, I feel so stupid talking about it. I didn't even think about that.
It's actually pretty simple though. Like when you really think about it, you know, there are only so many things that Google can do to identify if this is actually relevant for this topic. And they have to do the best they can to try to identify if it is. And, you know, a bounce rate when somebody sees something, they click back. If 100 people go to that page and they all hit back, then you have a 100% bounce rate. The higher the bounce rate, the more likely you are not relevant for swimming pools. So if you have no bounce rate for roofing, then you're probably going to be more relevant for roofing. And, you know, there are so many metrics. We're not going to go into all of them. But like when someone stays on a page, let's say you create actual good content that is about the topic, it takes time to read that. And so someone's going to scroll down the page, which is an indicator to Google. They can track that. They're going to take some time to read and digest the content if it is good, which increases what we call the dwell time, which is a factor in ranking as well. If somebody has a 10-minute dwell time, they're on the same page for 10 minutes, and then they click through to a different page on your site, then that's more than likely signaling to them that, well, this is not only about roofing, but it's also an authority in roofing because this page was so good, they wanted to go even further and clicked on something else, and that's called a click-through rate. So as an SEO, we do our best to try to stimulate all of these positive ranking signals, dwell time, remove the bounce rate, the click-through rate. That's really what our job is all about.
I honestly don't know what all's involved in a really good SEO. Like, what are you guys doing? Because I know there's like backlinks and citations. I'm like, are you producing content on people's websites? Are you writing, you know, articles or what goes in? What's involved? I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot.
What's a good SEO website look like? What local business? What's a good one?
It's a lot. And it's so much that to explain it to the average business owner, it's too much.
Yeah.
You know, we try to, if we're actually speaking with a business owner and we start talking about on-page optimization and citations and backlinks and keywords, and it just overwhelms the average bear, you know? So I like to kind of like pull it back a little bit and be like, this website really needs to be relevant for roofing. You know, we're going to add content to the site. So yes, we have content writers. And for years, we've had a dozen or so people that are actually great at writing, creating blog articles. We optimize those articles in a way that Google can read and attribute a lot of that relevance to. So there's basically a portion of optimizing the website in itself, creating fresh and relevant content about the topics that you need to be creating content around. And then there are off-page signals, which are other signals to Google that this website is actually about what they say it's about.
Jeez.
And we have other people that are giving them their vote of trust that it is in fact so. So an example of that is exactly what you said, like a backlink and
a real one. I remember they used to have these like giant, you know, you get 1,000 backlinks a day type of stuff and link wheels and these blog pyramids and stuff. I remember it looks good. Like you're talking to something and they're like, you know, we're going to generate 50,000 backlinks a day at the time that worked. But you can't do that now. That'd probably hurt your site, right? Probably hurt if you had a bunch of junk, like a bunch of crap just loaded onto your site. And I would be nervous about that, Nick. Like I would be nervous as a business owner of doing business with someone who might like just throw a bunch of junk crap that's going to hurt, that Google's going to penalize my site.
Mm-hmm. And you should be, you know, there are a lot of bad actors out there in the SEO world because it's something that you can do remotely from afar, from anywhere in the world. So you have plenty of people from all over the place that are like, hey, I can do this. Give me your money. You know, it's an easy transfer of information. And so there are three schools of thought with implementing search engine optimization. There's the white hat crowd. Those are like the good wizards, right? The ones that only believe in the truth and honesty and doing the good things. And then there's black hat, which is all the illegal guys doing all the, like you said, the link wheels and the
And I'm guessing that stuff, I'm just guessing black hat stuff like probably works for a little bit. Like they loophole that works, but eventually comes. You risk. So go ahead. And then there's the.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are people that can do black hat stuff that can totally game the system. The problem with that is you are putting that website at risk. And for us, you know, we're running a legitimate, honest business. We have employees. We have like the businesses that we're working for. Like we could never do that to them. That would like shut them down. That would be catastrophic. Also, we live on an island. So there's nowhere really to go if you do that to somebody, you know? Yeah.
They'll hunt you down.
Throw a pineapple at you. So, and then there's the gray hats, right? Okay. There's people that are kind of like in between. They operate in between. They do maybe a little bit of the black, a little bit of the white, or stuff that's not really, nobody really knows what it is yet. Like maybe it's so new that the jury's still out on it. That's kind of what you would consider a gray hat. But yes, usually black hat stuff is what you would imagine black hat stuff is. It's like quick results. You know, you're cheating.
Yeah, you're cheating. Right,
so
right.
When you cheat, you win faster.
A loophole or something, and then Google shuts it down, right? I feel it's like a prison. You know, the prisoners are always finding a way around the guards, and then they eventually find that thing, and then it's this constant game of that. I feel like that's how SEO is. Is that pretty much?
It's funny because like we have different teams in our agency. We got people that are good at SEO. We got people that are good at just working with clients, you know, client management. We got people that are great at running ads. And like my skill set started out really with getting super geeky and nerded out into SEO. And I'm very interested in it. It's like a video game to me. You know, when I can't get
like looking at all those numbers and stuff and metrics.
It's not so much numbers. It's just I look at the website and I'm like, okay, you know, I know what level 12 is. I know what level 3 is. I'm on level 3. I'm trying to get like the ball up a level, up the stairs, around the corner, and, you know, to the hoop. And if I can't get it there, then I just try to find my way around. And when I'm looking at people to hire for SEO or SEO related services, one of the things that I actually look for is like somebody who is a gamer. It's like,
really,
pro tip, secret good skill set to have in somebody that's good at SEO is like somebody that is like previously a gamer, because they have that mindset. You know, they want to get to that next level. And, you know, the game in this circumstance is really Google and ranking this website
up.
It
is a game, right? Right.
There are all these things that you can do, you know, and you know what they are if you just kind of study it for a while.
What would a red flag be for someone who's maybe paying SEO right now? Because there's going to be businesses they're dumping money, they're paying an SEO firm and they're not getting results, or maybe they're just not sure if they're getting ripped off. They're like, what's might be some red flags that you might want to ditch whoever you're working with?
You got the little guys who are just starting out, and man, honestly, if you find somebody that like me back in 2014 when I first started out, my first client that I got, although my skill level was not high at that point, I was so committed and dedicated to learning and implementing for them. They got a great deal on the amount of work and labor that I was willing to put in, you know? So I do want to be careful to not really dog the little guy that's like inexperienced, because if he's really trying to figure it out, that could be a great person to hire, honestly.
Yeah, you got a good point there. That's actually a really good point.
Right? Yeah. but I would definitely steer clear from people that are telling you, like, we guarantee that we could do this for you. We guarantee that we'll get you to number one. You can't really guarantee anything with search engine optimization.
Right. The same with direct mail. Like a lot of guys will guarantee, you know, you're going to get, you know, 3% response. I don't know your business might suck. You might have the worst customer service ever. I can't control that.
So what do you tell them when you're?
Yeah. All you can do is we can make the best offers. We can reach the right people. I can get you in front of a lot of people. But if people aren't happy with the experience, I can't do anything about that. You know, and I don't have a crystal ball. The short answer is I don't have a crystal ball. Until we do this, I don't know. We can see what happens. We can tweak things. If things are working, we'll double down on it.
Do you make it a point to let them know that in the beginning before you start 100%
marketing? Because it's really easy. This would be the same selling SEO. It's really easy to make promises that you can't keep, me to make these wild promises. I can tell you, let's do 10,000 postcards, the average response, even if 2% people respond, you know, you're gonna have 200 people coming in, you know, and it sounds logical. It sounds like, oh my God, it's amazing. But the fact is, if I send 10,000 postcards off to selling a private jet, like you're not gonna have 200 private jet sales. Like it just doesn't, in the end, that will end up crushing that campaign. They'll be mad. They'll be upset. So it's better to give realistic expectations that might not be any real expectation and see where it takes you, you know, and commit. Like you said, you're not always going to see results in that right away. There's different things you can do to get results right away. And I would probably suggest paid ads if someone was looking for traffic right away. But it takes time, just like mailing, just like anything where you've got it. It takes time for people to just start seeing you, to start trusting you. It takes time. It's hard to shortcut that.
Yeah.
It's really hard to
show. I mean, it's a similar red flag, you know, with direct mail and SEO. I would steer clear of anybody that you like, let's say they're presenting themselves as somebody that really knows what they're doing. Then you should ask them to show you some proof, like give me some keywords that you've ranked, and then actually doing the little research on your end. Like, you know, what businesses have you ranked and what keywords have you ranked them for? And, you know, like us, I can say things like, well, we've ranked, you know, the business that's number one for Maui Solar. They've grown into like a multi-million dollar business because when we started working together, they were on page two. But now they're number one. So they get, you know, 60 to 70% of all the clicks for people looking for solar on Maui. If you ask somebody that and they don't really have something that you can look up, then if it's the new guy, the little guy, he's going to be up front and tell you. He's going to tell you that. I'm new, but I'll be willing to work like a madman for you. Yeah.
It's the problem is when someone's new and they try to make themselves bigger than they really are, and then they can't provide any evidence of that. You know, they don't have any portfolio, they don't have any clients and commit. It's like realtors. I know a lot of realtors would become really good ones, but they had to start out and they're like, I have not sold any homes yet, but I'm going to do everything in my human capacity to help you sell this home. And they
sold. I like that guy.
Right.
Yeah. Even sometimes better than the jaded person, right? Because so be steer clear of people that are alleged experts, but don't have the portfolio that they can show you. Or if they tell you that they have ranked these things, make sure you take it one more step further and go look those things up yourself. Right. Because a lot of people will say, I've done this and I've done that, but it's like calling a reference. You know, a lot of people ask for references. I'm guilty of this for a while. I did not call references.
Yeah, you don't.
I had somebody on my team that was like, we're not going to call their references the first time we start. I'm like, can you call? And ever since we started doing that, like we've gotten a much better candidate every time we've hired somebody.
Yeah.
But you should do the same when you're looking to approach somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's an excellent point. To recap that, it's really not a problem if someone is new or just starting out, because they may be an absolutely great person to have handle your digital marketing or whatever they're doing. But it's a problem when someone is making these bold claims and they don't have anything to really support that. If you're going to make these bold claims, you better have something to support that, to prove that. What kind of budget? What is it cost? What's someone going to have to spend? What's it cost? Someone wants to do SEO. They've got a budget. They don't have a budget. I don't know. What's it going to cost?
So again, I think it goes to skill level. You know, you have the early people that are going to not charge you as much. You have the expert people that have a big portfolio, that have a solid portfolio. They're going to charge much more because they can, you know, show you the results to back it up. And I think you should gauge it respectively toward that, to whoever you are looking to hire. If you have an agency that's like, I think if you're a bigger company and you're looking to get a little bit more of a guaranteed result, you're going to want to find somebody that's like got a much higher success rating, you know? And generally those people are like $1,000 a month to a couple thousand to two to 3,000. And it also depends on how aggressive you want to be. You know, make sure that when you talk to somebody about doing SEO for you, you ask about that. Like, do you have more aggressive campaigns or packages, and what goes into those, and what's the difference between those and the other ones? And what we do is that a more aggressive campaign targets more than one, like our basic package, right? We go after five keywords a month, meaning like, you know, if you're that roofer in Miami or whatever, we're going to go after roofer Miami. We're going to go after, you know, ceramic tile roofing in Miami, like search terms that are relevant to you. We're going to do that research. We're going to find out terms that are being searched into Google around your industry. And we're going to find the ones that have traffic. And then we're going to go after those ones. And our basic package will go after five every single month. Our more aggressive package is going to cast a bigger net, and we're going to go after 10 or 20, or, you know, it grows with the packages. And so you can get more aggressive, but you want to know how or why, what they're going to do to actually make that happen.
So you're looking at maybe $1,000 to $3,000. Is that a pretty typical per month SEO kind of budget?
I would say if you were looking to hire like an agency,
like good agency, more than
just a freelancer, like, And agency sounds like a very, you know, fancy word. And I think back in the day it is. I mean, for anybody that's watched Mad Men.
Yeah, they have that suit and stuff. And yeah.
When I think of agency, I think of that. You know, when I first started out and someone was like, digital marketing, are you going to build an agency? I was like, an agency?
Right. Am I paying these payrolls for this executive to be up in the
I thought that was off limits for me, to be honest. But to
it's really just having a team. It's really just having a team of multiple people to do lots of things where they're good at and fast, right? It's a lot quicker. You have someone to work on the website. You have someone to work on the content. Someone to work on. You have a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. And the benefit to you in hiring a team, which is, you know, an agency is a team. That's a great way of putting it, is, you know, you can hire an in-house marketing team, meaning hire an employee or multiple employees to do your marketing, to do your SEO. And that's going to be, you know, how much is employee, your average person
you're
is
going
to
spend it,
30, 40,000, 50,000 health insurance.
Right.
But if they're going to be a smart and good marketing company, I mean, person, then they're going to be 60, 70. I mean, you know, it goes up, right? So the benefit for somebody hiring an agency like us is like, we are the ones that are looking for that talent. We are cultivating that talent. We are staying ahead of the information. And so it is a little bit more expensive to work with an agency because it's more than one person and you're putting food on the table for more than just one person. But generally, yeah, it's about $1,000 to start. And
they can expect, are you over time? I'm just assuming you're expected to make more of that back, right? It's producing an ROI. So over time you're making more than $1,000. Like it becomes just an ATM machine. It becomes an ATM machine. Same with postcards or whatever marketing you're doing.
Absolutely. And you know this, you know, with your postcards and the offers that you have, the ones that sell the more expensive stuff, it's easier to generate the return on investment for them. Yeah. If they're selling $3,000, like we have a guy that's doing, he's selling $15,000 golf carts that are like super modified and like lifted and they're electric and people freaking love them.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't need a lot of them to make it worth it. You don't need to.
Yeah. Just a couple of leads a month for that guy. He's stoked, you know, but the carpet cleaner that makes $100 for one house to do three rooms, he struggles a little more. So, you know, having that conversation early on with a potential and I'm going back to the people that we're talking to on the stream now. If you're a business looking for SEO, you know, consider that, like consider what your average price point is and what you could actually get in return. If you started to show up higher in Google, you know, would it be difficult to get 10 people? Would it be difficult to get 100 people? And if you're in one of those industries where, you know, there's a lot of people looking for what you have to offer, SEO could probably be pretty good for you.
What about
if you don't, if there are not a lot of people that are looking,
what if you're in a rural area?
If you're selling something expensive, then you're still good.
What about like a everyday service, but it's not a big area. You know, you're in Timbuktu. You're in is it still worth doing SEO or paying for someone to do SEO in a rural, not a lot of key traffic coming through? I mean, I guess you have to work those numbers and see, right?
Exactly. That's a great point that you bring up there. And you can ask this in the process of potentially working with somebody and saying, you know, what's the search volume for roofers in Miami?
Yeah.
If that's what you are, you know, or carpet cleaners in whatever.
Just some random place. Yeah. Like what? Can they come to UNIT? Could they come? Someone's a carpet cleaner and they're in, you know, Illinois somewhere, Missouri somewhere, and could they contact you, your agency, and just ask, you know, what could you do for me? And you guys would at least give them some kind of idea. Does that work like that? Or are you too busy? Or
I would. So,
or what should they do? Maybe what should they do?
So the businesses that we work with now are generally not new businesses. So, you know, if you're a business owner,
What if they're not? Yeah. What if they're,
if you're a business owner and you have a business, you have some traction.
Yeah. They got a budget. Yeah, they got a budget. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I say new business owners, I'm going back to the reasoning that I mentioned before, in that if you want to invest in search engine optimization and you're a new business owner, it's probably not the best marketing strategy for you. You know, I don't want to take your money because I believe it could be used better elsewhere in your business. Yeah. I would rather you go out there and get cash flow, get some traction, identify who your, you know, perfect audience is, who your perfect customer is, figure out your pricing, make sure you have product market fit. And when you do, then we can do the organic long-term approach and get into SEO. So usually we know that businesses that have been around for a little while, those are them, you know?
Yeah.
So if you wanted to see what the search volume was for you and that's you, then yeah, you can totally reach out to us. That's fine.
What about someone who's paying for SEO now and maybe they want something better? Mm-hmm. Is that something or is that not a thing? Like,
no, it is a thing. And a lot of people, the reality is we get a lot of clients that, and I would say most of our clients are coming off of a bad experience with someone who's sold them SEO in the past, but it wasn't really great. And, you know, that's horrible for our industry in general, because people are coming to us kind of like scared and very skeptical. Yeah. And it's our job to now make them feel better about it. And so, what people do is a sign that you are not getting what you are paying for is, you know, you're paying decent money for something and you're just totally unsure. And what we do to try to make people like, it's a big focus in our business is to really communicate the ROI, because at the end of the day, implementing all this stuff for search engine optimization, we could do it all. And you, the business owner, you would never really know that we're doing any of it. Right. Until one day, like maybe like when that traction hits, you start getting, and it's usually pretty slow. You know, you start to get an extra phone call here or there or email.
You look back like a few months and you're like, wow, this is totally different, you know, from what it was earlier this year.
Right.
It's like suddenly you realize you gained 15 pounds or something. Like you didn't see it.
Exactly. You don't gain it all at once. You don't gain it all at once. It happens over time.
Right.
Totally. Right. Totally. And in fact, a lot of people, well, if you don't communicate what you're doing, communicate that value, they will attribute that to their own goodwill and whatever they're doing on their own. They're like, we did all this. Yeah, we don't even need you, you know? So a way that you can, if you fall in that category, what you're probably experiencing is that you're not really sure what you're paying for. The communication really isn't there. You may be getting like a very automated, generic, vanilla report every month that's like emailed to you, but you don't really understand it. And what we do is we have an account coordinating team. Like we give you a report, but we're willing to get on a Zoom call every month and talk about it and hear how it's going.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
And so, you know, if you don't have that type of service, then you might be better suited looking for one.
So really you kind of shine in your case where people are coming off of bad, they're spending money, they're coming off of a bad experience, and you're able to turn that around. That's like kind of your
that's the goal.
Is that your,
that's
your
the, yeah, that's the goal. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't happen every single time. I have to be completely upfront in saying that there are times where, you know, we take on clients and they're in a very competitive market and we try our best and
it's like a realtor. They some people go through multiple realtors. They think it's hard to sell a prop. It's just hard.
Real estate's a tough one, you know, especially here in Maui. We have over 2,500 real estate agents, and it's because real estate here is such a good market. People can make so much money from it.
Yeah.
Of course you get everybody in there, you know,
son, right?
Yeah.
Do you do SEO for realtors? Do you have any clients that are real estate?
We've done a lot in the past, but in this market here, I actually steer clear from them now.
Interesting.
And the reason is because it's too difficult. Most agents, of course they want marketing more clients, but back to the example of, you know, new business, experienced business, most agents don't really have the budget to invest in marketing.
Sure.
And that is why they're usually with the brokerage, because their brokerage is doing the marketing for them.
Yeah, it's doing the marketing for them, right?
And so there are agents that we work with. We've actually helped rank the guys that are number one for Maui real estate. Jeez, but those are like the biggest agents here. You know, those guys, sure, they have money to do it. They're willing to stomach the cost that it takes for the long-term organic approach. But generally, you know, an agent can do better for themselves by just setting up some grassroots stuff on their own, writing their own blog post, creating a newsletter, building a Rolodex of leads of buyers and sellers,
right?
Doing those things.
Right. I work with a lot of real estates. Yeah. I work with a lot of them and some of them do though, Nick. Some, like, I have some real estate clients that have huge budgets. Like they will put money into. Can you sync money as a real estate agent though into SEO? Can you?
Yeah,
can you sink? If I said I'll put $5,000 a month if I can get that back. If I can get a list, if I can get a listing every month or something, like they will do it. Like, can that happen SEO wise?
Yes, it can. But the best way to think about SEO is like, okay, and I use this example with clients. You know, SEO is, it's Google search engine optimization. So the businesses that are going to benefit the most from it are the businesses where their ideal customer is going to Google and searching. So if you are and I use this exercise a lot, if I'm talking to a real estate agent, they're like, hey, can we do SEO? You know, and I say like, well, who's your ideal customer? You know, who's looking for this house or who's looking for this property? The example is if we're here right now and a pipe breaks above in upstairs and there's just water coming down on my ceiling, you know, where am I going to go to find somebody to help me fix that? Yeah. What's the first thing that I'm going to do as an average person?
You're going to be Googling plumber.
I'm going to be I'm not going to be going to Instagram, right? I'm not going to be going to LinkedIn. I'm not going to be checking my mailbox.
No. Yeah, right. You're going to be on that Google, right? Searching fast.
So that is a target customer exercise. You know, who is your ideal customer, your ideal audience? And so of course, if you're selling, you know, a $10 million home, is that person going to Google right now and looking for, you know, $10 million home in wherever, or what are they doing? So you have to be creative about what you're doing. And sometimes, in most cases for agents, it's always like a multi-pronged approach. It's like you have a custom website for that property, and then you send out a mailer driving people to that website.
To that website, right?
Or then you create ads that go to that website.
Sure.
Or you do SEO for that website.
Right.
And you try to rank it for different things about like the neighborhood or schools or things like that would bring somebody in that's looking for a specific reason for that house, like a property. Sure. You have to find out what that property is really setting itself apart from.
Yeah.
If you're a real basic vanilla property, SEO is not going to be very good for it, you know. Right. But if you have one that's oceanfront,
got a helicopter pad on it or something, because that might be
exactly what you're
looking for. Right.
Yes.
Right. Yep. We're a certain target audience. Totally get that. Does it matter if someone's website is on Squarespace, Wix, WordPress, SEO wise? Does it matter?
It does. Yes, it does.
Can you work with someone on a Squarespace site? Can you still do SEO for someone on a Wix builder or something? Cause they look nice. I mean, like, you can go on Wix and build a pretty nice looking website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are
varying types of functionality and capabilities that you can do with each different platform. You know, a great example of this, an analogy that we like to use too, is like, First of all, the inexpensive website, Wix or whatever, the $10 website that you can get is great for a business that's brand new that doesn't have a great budget.
Yeah.
You know, once you get some traction and you're willing to be able to reinvest into your business a little bit, then you might want to consider using something that has a little bit more sophisticated technology behind it. And what do I mean by that? Well, there are, you know, we use WordPress as our website platform of choice. And the reason that we use it is because there's a lot more things that you can do to that website to tell Google that it is relevant about that topic. Mm-hmm. And Squarespace will have 20 things that you can put in a box. You can type it in the box, the input field, and say it's relevant for this, 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 and this.
That's all you got.
And so in some markets, that might be enough. You know, if you're in a very small little town and there's no competition,
you
might get away with a Wix website,
right?
Because you know, they only have three input fields or three ways to tell Google what it's about. A lot of people have a GoDaddy website, which has built-in SEO. The built-in SEO is you can add a title and a meta description, but there's like 3,000 other things that you could add into a WordPress website.
Right.
And so it comes down to the competition. Competition is a big thing with search engine optimization.
How do you, I mean, Roofer Miami, like, you can't rank for that. Can you? Like, how can you?
If you get some backlinks from Home Depot, you could probably do it.
in a congested market, or even like a medium-sized city or medium-largest-sized city, how do you rank? How do you take out a competitor that's like doing SEO and a big, like, how?
Well, you don't necessarily need to.
Where do you have to be? Yeah. Do you have to just be front page, like just first page?
Like I said, so it really starts with the keyword research. So our process is when we bring in a new SEO client, let's say they're the roofer. And I gave the example of, you know, the most profitable search term for a roofer in Miami is going to be roofer in Miami. If you could be number one for that,
That's like
you're going to get a lot of traffic. Right. But
like emergency roof repair or something would be a slightly easier keyword to rank. You're saying a little bit easier
because and the reason we should explain this to people, the reason that it's easier is because it's what we call longer tail. It's a longer term that people are actually typing in. Like the more words that people are typing in, the less competitive it usually is. And we call that a long tail keyword. And so what we do is we do research on these keywords. So if you're that roofer coming in, we will start to look you up and, you know, we will ask you what are the terms that you want to rank for and what are you relevant for? And then we will take those seed keywords and then we will go do more research on all of them and find the ones that people are actually typing into Google and looking for that don't have a lot of competition, but that do have some actual search volume. And we'll start going after those. And once we start going after those, you'll start to get a little bit of traffic. It'll start trickling in and that's kind of your foundation. Then we can start to go after the more competitive stuff after we get some of those early signals of traffic and click through and the ones that I mentioned before. But you know, there oftentimes, almost always, there are long tail keywords that don't have a lot of competition that have people searching for them that you could pretty quickly go after. And so we tell our clients like that's the process. That's what we're going to start doing. Yeah. And we can actually usually show them some pretty quick movement for those terms.
Right.
Like if we can show them within, you know, a couple of months, like, hey, we are now on the first page for, you know, best ceramic tile roofing company in Florida.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool little win.
Right. Because you have, because you can probably, there's probably a million of these long tail keywords. You can think of ceramic tile, Spanish tile, asphalt shingle, right? There's so many you could steel roofing, like so many little things that you might be able to rank for. And when you were saying like some of the more aggressive packages, you might be building more authority in multiple, more keywords, right? Where you're going after like 10 keywords or something.
Yeah. And this actually ties into the last question you had where you were saying, well, how do you outrank those big guys that are in, you know, that whatever. So this is all about competitor analysis. So you have the big guy who's number one and he's doing really well. So how do we outrank them? Well, what we have to do is we have to see what they are doing. We have to look at what they're doing and there are tools out there that we use where we identify how many backlinks they have, you know, and if they have 5,000 backlinks, a good way of looking at it is like, well, we have to do everything a little bit better than they are. We have to, like, it's very difficult to outrank somebody that has 5,000 backlinks with only one backlink, you know?
Yeah.
So we have to like, we have our work cut out for us. We identify what that is and we work towards it. And so one of the techniques that we use, I didn't invent it. A guy named Brian Dean is probably the guy. Have you heard of Brian Dean before?
No.
So he's coined it. It's called the skyscraper method. And what it is like, we'll do our competitor analysis. We'll find out who's in the number one place. We'll do a full, you know, look at how many keywords they're ranking for. If it's 3,000, great. We're going to do 3,001. If it's 2,000 backlinks, great. We're going to do 2,001. So you find out what they're doing and then you build a skyscraper on top of it. And that's how you get ahead.
Wow. What is the expectation of how long you should kind of commit yourself to? Like when I talk to realtors, first thing I tell them is you need to commit. When talking about direct mail, you need to commit to at least 6 months. It would be good to commit to a year. Like you need to commit to that for that long in order to see results. Is there, you know, a length of time for SEO in general that people should be committing to, or is it just ongoing? You should just be doing this forever.
It's like you said, there's no real crystal ball. It generally takes time. So that's what the expectation is that we
set. What would be the minimum? Like six months
to a year. Six months to a year is the thing that we say. But we've had a lot of what we do initially is really, like I said, kind of an audit, competitor analysis, and then we start to actually optimize the website itself.
Yeah.
Most people, the biggest thing that they have wrong is their website optimization is not correct. And it doesn't matter how many backlinks you have or how much content you have or all that. You could have so much of that stuff. But if Google doesn't really know what your website is about, then it doesn't even matter. It
doesn't matter.
And so a lot of times we get people that have existing businesses that have been around for a while that have plenty of backlinks and content and stuff, but their on-page is horrible. Their on-page optimization.
Or it's slow, right? The speed has, like, they have these massive pictures that slow things down and stuff. Because people don't want to wait. And some people are on slow internet connections still. They're still on slow connections for whatever reason. And if you're trying to load a site and it's like these things are taking forever, you're gone, right? You're gone.
Exactly. You go back. You go back.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not loading this thing. Or they got the, they don't have Adobe Flash anymore, but they'll have like the, they'll have like some kind of giant moving graphic that just like clunk. The sites are so clunky. They're horrible to be on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. So 6 months to a year is kind of like what we explain. But when we do that, what I was saying is that when we do that initial on-page optimization, what we find is oftentimes we see some movement pretty quick, but we can't guarantee that to people.
Yeah.
You know, but an example is we had a company that is a coffee shop that's been around for a while and their on-page optimization was horrible. Their website was horrible. So we built them a new custom website using our strategy to build websites, WordPress website. We did that and then we optimized the on-page SEO of it. And in the first month, they started ranking number one for Hawaii coffee, which is like a there's coffee in Hawaii, like Kona coffee is a very popular
It's like a huge, I have some you sent me.
I sent you some. That's right.
Wicked good. I still have the package. I have it somewhere.
And people love that stuff. So it's a competitive term. That's not one that you think that you could rank for right out of the gate within a couple of months. But the reason is because their on-page sucked, but they already had a lot of traction. So if you are a business out there that's been out there for a long time, you've had a website for a long time, and you're not ranking, chances are you have the ability to have some pretty quick wins with search engine optimization. And that is, if that is you, then you should probably consider doing some SEO.
What about other search? Do you even mess with like Bing and these other search engines? Is that a part of your strategy or not worth it?
This is something that I'm keeping a very close eye on right now with AI, because all these companies now are, you know, Microsoft and Bing is investing heavily in AI and integrating Bard and ChatGPT and these different tools into their search engines. And so I believe that there is, you know, for the last 6 or 7 years, it didn't really matter much. We just had kind of a minimum viable presence in Bing and other search engines. But let's be real. The king is Google. People are going to Google to search for stuff for the most part. And so we focus on there. If we can optimize for that, all the other stuff basically follows. But I'm keeping a close eye on this because I think that there's a chance that, who knows, you know, there could be a chance that some implementation of AI and technology that, you know, Google could potentially get dethroned, dare I say. I have no idea. I'm keeping a close eye on it.
Yeah. And there is still some volume there. So I'm sure it's on your radar, right? It's on the radar.
And you know how I know that? Because, and I don't know, maybe you've experienced this, but I've saved ChatGPT, OpenAI, as a shortcut on my browser.
Yeah.
And I use it like a search engine sometimes now.
Yeah.
So when there's that utility there and I'm already doing it, I mean, what if ChatGPT just became the next Google?
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
there could be something that just comes out of nowhere, like TikTok or something that just comes out of nowhere.
And if it just gave you, I mean, the reason people don't like SEO or Google doesn't like SEO is because people can game their algorithm.
But, yeah, right.
But be honest, if there was another search engine of some sort that had more accurate results, people would go to it just because it had more accurate results.
Better results, right? Right. Yeah. What do you, I don't want to go off topic with SEO, but what is paid ads generally a good strategy to mix with SEO?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, we love doing it and the businesses that we do it for benefit from it greatly, especially for retargeting, you know?
Yeah.
Because what we do is we drive organic traffic, people going to Google looking for stuff to the website, and then we show those same people ads later on,
right,
on different platforms and in Google. And
would that maybe be, is that, I know you can spend as much money as you want on paid ads, but maybe someone who's newer and has a budget and maybe doesn't want the time, like, can they just say, Nick or whoever, you know, I want to do paid ads. I want to spend, I got $3,000 a month, $1,000 a month, can you do something with paid ads? Is that like a pretty solid thing for someone to do?
Definitely. Yeah.
Do you think they could get a return pretty quick in most cases?
It depends, you know, on their product. It's again, we don't like speak in absolutes. We don't speak in absolutes, but the thing is if they already have a healthy business and they already have product market fit, meaning they're already out there selling this stuff, people love it, they buy it, it's priced well, then chances are if you take it to more people, they're going to buy it.
Can someone do paid ads on their own? Because to me, it seems way too complex. You can dump money into Google, you can run the but you don't really know what you're doing, and you burn through money really fast.
Yes, you can. They have it set up so you can. Google Express, right? And that would be a way to kind of test the waters on your own. And we have people that do that. And then we take it over when they kind of hit a ceiling, which is pretty quick. Hmm. What tends to happen is you end up spending your money on irrelevant traffic that it costs you money, but they don't actually turn into a paying customer.
Yeah.
And if you go that route initially, what happens is sometimes that gives you kind of like, you feel a little scorn towards doing paid ads again because it didn't work the first time.
Right.
You're not willing to take the risk with somebody that's a little bit better versed in doing it. So if you have product market fit, I would suggest going to somebody that knows how to do it rather than trying it on your own. If you're
what's
trying to find product
what's
market
that
fit.
Cost? Like, is it like a certain percentage? Like, are you usually...
It's generally around half, you know, management and ad spend. But of course, it doesn't make sense once you get kind of higher up in spending. Like, what if I want to spend $10,000? I have to pay you $10,000. No. What we have is kind of an unlimited plan. Is like we have people that pay us $5,000 a month as a retainer, and then we just spend as much money in ad spend as they want. Of course, they have to be getting an ROI to actually
in order to keep doing it. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to ask you some questions that people have emailed me, if that's cool.
Sure. Yep.
Stephanie Kia says, where can I learn best practices to learn SEO online? Is there a course, a book? She says she has Keyword Surfer installed, and that's about it. We're starting a blog, and we'd like to use it. She's got a... Is this a roof leak? And they've been 40 years. They've been 40 years in service, it says. In Southern California.
Wow.
So,
man, you guys should probably just hire someone to do it. If you've been around that long,
right? 40 years.
Yeah. Totally. Get it off your hands. And you know, I mean, what's one roof, if they get you one roof and one new roof job, I mean, it's going to pay for their service for the whole year probably. Yeah. But I think there's other people that could benefit from the answer to that question. And it really is just kind of going down the rabbit hole on Google and YouTube of like,
what's a trustworthy source of good SEO information? Like,
so there Google. Are cool, like there are SEO tools, you know, SEMrush, Ahrefs, they generally publish decent content on the latest about SEO, and it's because they are incentivized to do so. They want to stay in front of the trends because they want to make sure that their tools are competing with each other, you know? Right. So you can look at those big tools. SEMrush, Surfer is actually designed to help the average bear actually implement some SEO. They have some accountability built in, you know, they have like tasks for you every day to do with little tutorials to help you do it. I've actually never really liked Surfer that much, but it might be because it's like a little more basic than what I'm into.
Sure.
But that could be a good place to start. So I would say those are three places. You could do Surfer SEO, SEMrush, and Ahrefs. Those are, they all have blogs.
Okay. Right. As far as like a course or is it even worth for like a business owner to buy an SEO course? Like, I feel like things change so much. If you're buying like a private course, like it might be outdated by the time you read it, or it might be geared to just sell whatever service that person is selling.
No, I think so. I mean, I know you hire, you know, kids from the colleges and interns. I know you have them come to your office all the time. That's a great example of like, okay, let's, let's give this kid some skills. Let's buy a Udemy course for $5 and give them the fundamentals and have them implement some of these things for us. Like, if you have that opportunity, then that's a good use case for that. Or if you want to build an in-house, you want to develop somebody internally to be your SEO person, yeah, then do that. Then get them some course. Right. Udemy is a great place to start.
Udemy is a great place.
Inexpensive. Yeah.
She asked that they're starting a blog. Is that good? Should they be starting a blog?
Absolutely. You're trying to create relevance to the site. So you should be writing about the things that you want people to be searching for.
I thought blogs were stupid to have on a website now, but it's good to know that they're not. So thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Anthony says, thanks. I'm excited to see this video. He said, he's a paint contractor, service business. What are a few places that you recommend I spend the majority of my time and attention? And he's got like Google Business Profile, website page content, website design, blog content, LinkedIn reviews, Google local service ads. He's got a painting business. Where should he be putting his focus on?
So that would be the question I'd ask him, like, what are your goals? You know, is your goal to get more clients quickly? Because if that is your goal, then I don't recommend SEO. If you want to build up, if you want to reinvest and get into some, you know, organic traffic and ranking, then SEO would be great. And if you have some capital, then you might as well do a little bit of both. You might as well, you know, do a mailer and do some ads and do some SEO, break it up. But it really comes down to your goals. It always starts with that. Because what you don't want to have is that mismatched expectation. Somebody that needs cash right now, you're selling them SEO.
And you're selling them SEO, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just...
they're going to be like 3 months from now, they're going to say, hey, I can't afford this anymore.
Yeah.
You're just getting
the traction. So you're like, oh my God. Yeah. Right. And he also asks, what is your favorite obscure SEO tactic? Do you have an obscure? Yeah. Anything that you can mention? Mm. What's your favorite obscure SEO tactic?
I don't know about obscure. I guess I just really like doing a lot of competitor analysis. You know, it's not too obscure, but I feel like there's a lot of gems to be uncovered in looking at what your competition is doing and what your competitors are doing. You know, it's really important to say, like, who's doing this well? Who's number one? And it's basically your blueprint in actually getting to be number one or number two. You know, if you want to be number, like, let's be real, number two wouldn't be that bad, right?
Yeah, sure.
So how do I get to number two? Just try as close as humanly possible to be like number one, and you'll be at number two.
Right, you know? Right.
You have the blueprint laid out.
Not bad. Yeah, that's actually pretty good. Right. John Lee Thomas asks, this is the last submitted question. He's got three questions. What's the best keyword tool for local? And I'll repeat these again. Do you recommend that small businesses first optimize and improve their Google Business Profile listing before trying to rank SERPs? And what's more effective to rank locally? Text, content, link building, or social media? So first, what's the best keyword tool for local?
So I use a combination of things. The best tool to find like the long tail terms that we were talking about, I feel like, is Answer the Public. It's called Answer the Public.
I've heard of that. Yeah. I've heard of that. I've never been on it, but I've heard of that.
So Answer the Public will give you, like, you'll type in a keyword and it'll give you like thousands of all of the other terms that people are searching with that term.
Oh, with that term. That is sick. That's a sick resource. Okay. That's a good
resource. It is. It's a great one. And they have a free version too, where you can get a few searches for free.
Okay. Right.
Use that. And then I use that and I cross reference with Google's keyword planner, which is free. Yeah.
And then his second question is, do you recommend that small businesses first optimize and improve their Google Business Profile before trying to rank in the SERPs?
Yeah. And those things are interconnected. So you want to get your business profile figured out, because that's going to give you a pin on the map.
Yeah, that shows up in the search. That's right. What shows up. Right. Even before like the actual listings, it's that pack up at the top.
And there are two different ways that you can really rank in Google. Number one is in the maps. That is a different strategy to get ranked in maps than it is in the regular top 10 search results. So There are people that sell just map SEO, where they only focus on the map and rank for the map, because a lot of people find their way to the map in different ways. Like a lot of people just are in their car and trying to find the nearest restaurant. Yep. And they go to Google Maps and they type in restaurant.
Yep. I've noticed that. You just literally, for me, Google, and I recently put out this course on Google reviews and stuff. And I've when I started taking my reviews and my Google business profile listing, I went 10 years without even, I didn't touch it. I didn't do anything. And then a year and a half ago, I started taking it seriously. And my organic traffic, like I give customers every day coming in my shop that I never had before, because I started working on reviews. I started, you know, really putting an effort in a Google profile. And I'm realizing that, you know, people just type, they type printing. They don't always type printing Utica, New York. They type printing and it's, I'm open and I come up at the top, you know, here's a place that's open and it's 10 feet from you, you know, it's freaking 10 minutes from you. So yeah, that map thing is a whole other, I see what you're saying. I got excited there for a second.
Well, it's exciting. You know, it's all based off of proximity.
Right.
And so what that means is, like, how do we tell Google that you're
near
this business?
And probably who's open. I think that has something, you know, if this business is open right now, that's going to, or if they've got better, you know, pictures, they've got freaking content on there, reviews, all that stuff. Google wants to send you to the best result.
Right.
I think I like that. Do you do map SEO? Do you, well, is that a big part of your?
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, it's bundled it. Like we do both, you know?
Last question that John asks is, what's more effective to rank locally, text content, link building, or social media? What do you think is more effective to rank locally?
So I think text and link are interconnected and you need both of those. You don't necessarily need social media as much. Social media is a secondary signal and it's best used to drive traffic to your website. It's a way to have, you know, people go from social media to your website, but it's not like a real, it's got secondary factors that help make your website look good. Because obviously if your website has traffic, then it's going to seem like it's popular. But the way that people get from Facebook to your website, Google doesn't really know what, you know, how they do that. They're not able to track that keyword that someone finds your website with on Google, like they can in Google, where someone types in Roofer Miami and then the first thing they click on is the most relevant thing, so they can attribute it there. But if you're on Facebook and you somehow somebody shares a post about roofers and you go to this website and it's Google just sees you coming from Facebook, not because it's
because
a relevant term.
Right.
Yeah.
Dang, Nick. You blessed us with a lot of fantastic information. It's refreshing to have a conversation where it's not a pitch fest type of thing where we're just trying to help other business owners and we're just trying to help. Like it's amazing. That's why I love YouTube, honestly. I love just reaching our everyday local business owners. I love it. And giving them solid advice because it comes back. I mean, you probably operate like that too. I feel if I do good things, it comes back. You get clients with money. You get clients that they just come because you're doing good things. You're giving good information and running a good business.
I completely agree. You know? And as long as you do that and you pick up the phone and you answer emails, you'll get customers.
Yeah, right. If they want to contact you, what's the best email? Because they're gonna be if someone wants to contact your team for SEO, what is the best paid ads, paid traffic? What's the best contact?
Yeah. So if you just, you know, Google search Maui SEO, you'll see us at the top.
Always good when you're the top SEO result, right?
Yep. And you can go on the site. There's like,
and it don't matter, right? It doesn't matter if someone lives in Chicago. It doesn't matter, right? Even though you're in Hawaii.
No, like I said, I mean, there's an algorithm change going on right now. I've been seeing over the last week that we've been bouncing between 1 and 2 because of, you know, a change, but you're going to see us at the top, I'll say. And if you go there, there's contact information there. It's just to work with us and we can start that.
Nick, thank you a tremendous amount for devoting your time here. I think it was outstanding. I really appreciate it a ton.
Yeah, of course. You're welcome. I had a lot of fun. And thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Nick.